Coaches, lead 'em up was recently referred to as the tool that gives you the answers to the test. I love that. You see, as we go through the coaching experience, there are so many tests in front of us, so many challenges, especially in the leadership space. We think about our players not communicating well enough, not holding each other accountable, not embracing and maintaining the standards that we need to in our program. All these challenges and tests, lead 'em up can help be the answer. We give you all the tools, all the materials, all the teaching points to shift your players' perspective, to grow them into the leaders you need to win. Take advantage of the coach's membership. It is time for you to go all in and reap the rewards. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast. Powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam alongside Kyle. And Kyle, today we're talking about leadership-based identity. And, you know, I've touched on this in various episodes in the past, but I think it's just so important to continue to reinforce how our identities influence how we step into the world of leadership. And one of the most powerful tools we can have at our disposal as a leadership coach, someone trying to influence and develop leadership within our players, is to begin shaping and communicating into light the identity you want them to live into. And I'll give an example of how this looks on the flip side, because when you begin, when our young athletes begin to adopt an identity, it becomes very difficult to shake it. It becomes very difficult to kind of break free from it. And in fact, they do the opposite most of the time. They live into it. They grow even more into it. And one of the easiest examples is the class clown. He's the class clown, right? You know, you got the class clown and everyone jokes and calls him the class clown, him or her. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it starts as a little joke and it's just a little subtle. Yeah, he's our class clown or she's our class clown. And then it builds more momentum. It generates more legs. They kind of begin embracing this new title over them. And before you know it, they truly are living as the class clown. I mean, man, it is front and center. I mean, you might as well tat it up on their arms. They are the class clown. They want it. Yep. They want that title and superlatives in the yearbook. Even in moments on days, they don't even feel like being the class clown because they're tired or they're just not with it. They feel this obligation and responsibility to live into their title. Come on, man. Yeah, come on, man. That's you. That's you. And like, and before you know it, they're just like, they're the class clown. And what started in like one class, because they would goof off a lot in one class, now becomes like three or four classes. And they goof off at lunch now. And they clown all the time at the team with the team. And they get to the place, Kyle, they can't shake it. They can't shake it. You know, I've even, you know, they get to their 5-year reunion, right? Where they've matured and grown and they're no longer that person and everyone still labels them. Yeah. And they're like still waiting for the comedic version of them to come out and hey, make us laugh. You're the class clown. And like, man, I tell you, when we begin to paint pictures of identity to our athletes, they begin to oftentimes live into them for good or for bad. And they're very difficult to shake. And it can be used in many cases. This identity is served up as a negative, right? The identity kind of fuels downward, right? It's like an unhealthy identity, right? That people begin to wrestle with. But man,
there's a term for this. Do you know what the term for this is, what you're describing right now?
I don't know.
So I'm going to touch into my social studies days and shout out to all my social studies teachers out there. I taught sociology for a long time. And what we're describing here is present not only in kids, but in adults as we get older. And it's called the concept of the looking glass self. And Charles Cooley was a sociologist who kind of termed or penned this phrase in the early 1900s. And basically, in a nutshell, this is where individuals develop their identity, right? Their self-concept through their perception of how others view them. So it's not necessarily what they think of themselves. It's the reaction, or it's the perception that they think others have of them. So they imagine how others perceive them, how others judge their actions. And then this is what they base their identity on. So if the kid is acting up and being funny in class and they get to laugh, okay, I'm the class clown. If someone performs a certain role for the company and like they're the person that comes into the meeting and they're always providing the wit or the charm or the lighthearted humor, that becomes their identity in the company. So it's based on what they get recognition for. And that's where the value, their esteem comes from. And it's kind of, you know, how we present ourselves to others isn't necessarily what we think about ourselves. It's the reaction that we get. And that can change from group to group and setting to setting. But that's why it's so important that we have to talk about this with our athletes, because on, you know, not consciously, but we're actively shaping their identity. We're actively shaping who they become based on how we react to what they do.
So therefore, first off, love that. Love that little lesson. Yeah, I wasn't familiar with the looking glass self. So I love that. I want to do more research on it. But we are shaping how they view themselves, which then in turn tells us we should be intentionally working to shape them into what they can become. And I think that's where the power of this plays out. And one of the greatest motivating strategies for me in my work is simply to, man, I try to build up the identity of the individuals I work with to start becoming more of this leader, becoming more of this high character, high integrity individual, to the point where they begin to feel like that's who they are, that's right, how they're perceived. And that's why we engage in celebrations so frequently, and why celebrations on a team wide is so important. Because when we can sit there and like celebrate the players within the group in front of their team members, you're slowly shaping their identity as you kind of communicate that over them. But you're all, to the looking glass up, all of a sudden that's how they're going to view how they're going to perceive me viewing them. But then also, right, over time, it'll begin to influence how their teammates perceive them. And then in turn, right, growing from that regard. But it can be one of the greatest tools. That's why anytime I see any type of leadership pass being delivered or exhibited, man, I make such a point. I don't disregard it. I don't gloss over it. I make such a point to celebrate it, to bring it to light, to bring it to the attention. Man, there was a video the other day. One of my guys on a football program during a game, he had such a big hit in the middle of the game. Oh my gosh, such a big hit. Kind of got him, kind of lifted the opponent up and kind of was able to kind of pile drive him into the ground, almost like WWE style. Yeah. On the sideline,
right, picture it.
On the sideline, my guy, man, and I couldn't share it because I work with both teams. So if I share the hit, unfortunately, he was hitting another verified guy on one of my other programs. So I don't like my other guy would be like,
ruffle any feathers there.
Yeah, my other guy would be like, man, coach, why are you sharing highlights of me getting slammed like this? I didn't want to go down that path, but nonetheless, man, I wanted to so badly, because on the sideline, one of my favorite young men, Tavari Groves, they call him Tick, number 7, football player, great receiver. The level of excitement and enthusiasm he exhibited and demonstrated on the sideline was unbelievable. He started doing these bunny hops where he did like 7 or 8 bunny hops in a row, just jumping like out of just excitement and just like hyped. And it was awesome. And it, like where the camera was facing, it was just him. He just kept jumping up like almost like a rabbit in the video screen, you know? And man, I made a point to take about 90 seconds to 2 minutes at the beginning of the next session to just really illustrate and celebrate Tick. Because Tick didn't just do it that moment. He does really well with that. Like he gets really excited for his teammates. And we took the first 90 to 2 minutes and I just celebrated him. We showed the clip, man. We just laughed about it, man. Told him how much I love the way he celebrates others and gets hyped for others, man. Those type of people on our team are just so special, man. I'm doing that because I think it's deserving to be celebrated, but in another angle, I'm also like, man, I want to fuel this individual's identity into being somebody who loves celebrating teammates. And that when others do good, we all of a sudden just begin to assume and expect Tick to just be that guy. And then moments where Tick isn't that guy, it's almost shocking. It's like, whoa, 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 Tick.
Right.
You're that guy for us. You're our guy for us, Tick. Celebrate. But all of a sudden, he begins to just live into it. And it has incredible ways to shape behavior when you begin to grow and intentionally influence in the positive direction the identity of those that we have within our leadership.
Well, not only that, but also what you're doing is you're kind of scratching that curiosity itch in a way for the other athletes, but you're also planting a seed because people want recognition and the other guys in the room, they want recognition. So when you're celebrating that, you're also saying, hey guys, you know, if you want to have a shout out, here's some things that you can do. I did something similar last week. One of my guys at Lakewood Ranch, they had a tough opponent, Manatee High School. I mean, their front seven is like, these dudes are all studs, like legit D1 dudes all across the board. And they were down in the second half and their Manatee, they sprung like an 80-yard swing pass. And one of our guys, it was like the DK Metcalf play, you know, where he chases the guy down 90 yards down the field. So he did that. He caught him at like the five and he wasn't running directly behind him. It was like a diagonal sprint. So from one side of the field to the other and caught him. So we did the same where I celebrated him for like the first 90 seconds for 2 minutes. One, to build that up in him. Like if you're green, you don't give up on a play. If you're hardworking, if you're living out the standards, you do that. So we celebrate him for that. But then we also want the other guys to recognize like that's the type of effort that we need to have all the time that is going to be celebrated at a high degree. So you're also planting the seed for them. Like this is who you want to be. This is something, this is a trait that we aspire you to live out. And it always goes back to one of our favorite phrases is, you know, that which gets praised well gets repeated well. So when the kids or anybody in a company or an organization sees something that gets recognition, naturally, they're going to want to try to repeat that to get that same type of feedback.
This is Jason Barnes from Chick-fil-A, and this is your Leadership Nugget. Managers do things right. Leaders do the right things. As leaders, our number one behavior is leading by example. A wise person once said, behaviors are caught, not taught. Whatever it is you are doing, you are giving your people permission to do. As you coach new and existing leaders, the most important thing that they can do is lead by example. This includes showing up to work on time, executing correct behaviors, teaching others, and treating everyone the way they want to be treated. All of these are important elements in leading by example. Managers do things right, and leaders do the right things. Be the example, do the right things, and ensure everyone around you is catching how you are leading by example, the greatest skill any leader can possess. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
There's actually a term, it's called identity-based communication, or you could look at like emotional-based communication, where I think you all you're communicating through these emotions that you want people to feel and experience on the other side. And it's a really powerful approach, Kyle, because, you know, the reality is our words are powerful. We hold major power with our words. And if you don't believe me, I mean, just look at history, right? People can, through their words and their speeches, can get people to do things they shouldn't be doing, right? And, you know, words can generate incredible momentum and emotions and behaviors. I could go into a room right now. I wouldn't, but I could, and really make everyone in the room really depressed. I could articulate the words in such a way that could leave you feeling discouraged, depressed, down on yourself, right? Lacking confidence. I could do that tomorrow. But I also have the ability then in turn to go into a room and paint the opposite picture. Get people to feel really confident or included and appreciated and valued and encouraged and excited. I could do that as well. Utilizing emotional-based communication where you go in with an emotional objective in mind, right? Usually you accomplish the objective when you do that. And I teach an exercise down at Towson that actually is this exercise, emotional-based communication. And 95% of the time or greater, the individual is always able to land them in the emotion that they set out to do it through the exercise. Almost like clockwork every single time. And it really just shows us our ability, right? Once again, if I was told, hey, for $1,000, I need to make Kyle feel depressed, I'd probably be able to get there. Okay. But on the same time, hey, for $1,000, just can you just make Kyle feel appreciated? Yep. No problem. We could do it. All right. This plays into this identity base, right? We have the ability to land our athletes in a place almost wherever we want them to land, right? If I want to land a player in a place of calm, composed, and mature, I could probably do that. I love your composure in such tough situations, spotlighting them at the end of a practice. Hey, you know, hey, can I give a shout out to Ashley? Ashley, I just want to celebrate you yesterday in the game when everything was chaos and there was all this bass. Your ability to maintain treble, that focus, that clarity is unlike anything I've ever seen. It's admirable. Guys, I want you all paying close attention to Ashley moving forward. I think we can learn from Ashley. All of a sudden, Ashley's sitting there. I'm almost giving her no choice but to live in to an identity of someone who's calm and composed, right? Or even when we were down the other day and Mikhail was, you know, our team was struggling, but, you know, Mikhail kept us believing on the sideline. Mikhail, you kept coming over in our ear just to everybody, just, hey, we got this. And what happened? We came back. We ran off a great run to end the game. Incredible, Mikhail. I just want to celebrate you. Man, your confidence and its unwaveringness despite the circumstance is so impressive, especially for a 17-year-old. Man, that it's arguably one of the most impressive things I've ever seen from a high schooler, 17. And even in moments where there's doubts, you kept believing, but I also love that your confidence never oversteps the line of threshold to become arrogant and cocky. It's remained healthy. Man, you have just done an incredible job. I celebrate your ability to maintain confidence in difficult situations. Are you kidding me? Mikhail is now walking away, living even greater in his confidence. And his example.
Anytime that he faces a question or a doubt in his ability, those are the things that they fall back on. And those words have words of life. They speak it into existence for him. And for coaches, I would just challenge to continue to celebrate the effort that your athletes make in any type of leadership regard for your team. It's one of the things where there's been countless studies done, but, you know, I'm sure you've heard it before, Adam, where a group of students are given problem sets and then they look at them after they've completed the problem sets, where one group of the students is praised for their intelligence And the other group is praised for their effort, for their actions. And when they were praised just for their intelligence level, oh, you're so, you know, smart, you're so intelligent, performance didn't really increase. But when you praise the effort and you're intentional with the effort that was shown and demonstrated, that person's confidence and performance grows through the roof. So it has a tremendous ability to impact not only how they show up and lead for your team, but then that carries on for the rest of their life. I mean, that's the power of sports. That's part of why we do what we do, is you're impacting someone for the rest of their lives. And when you're giving them life as a leader, they carry that with them into the next situation.
And it reminds me, we recorded, Kyle, a couple months back about leading from the middle. And we talked about players that transition, that play one sport in the fall and then a sport in the winter, and their roles are very different on the two. And it kind of reminds me of that instance where, you know, the individual that we talked about in that episode, you know, during the fall season, their identity is a leader, quarterback, senior, captain, one of the best players, right? But not only just those attributes, but even just the messaging from the coaches and from their counterparts and team members is about like, hey, he's our guy. He's our leader. He's our leader, right? He's out in front. And then that same player went into the winter season to play basketball where he was not as good. He was not a starter. He was a reserve. He was a role player. And the identity that he experienced in basketball was very different than his identity in football. And he struggled stepping into it because it just wasn't him, right? It changed. He didn't know his role where, and what do you mean he didn't know how to insert himself in that role of leadership? In many ways, you could argue because his identity changed. He went from being labeled as the leader, living in that identity, to now being just part of the team, a role player. And what we needed, and as we worked that year together and had many conversations, we basically had to keep shifting the identity and speaking his identity to be that leader despite his role. He was having a little bit of an identity crisis, essentially. I mean, that's what it was. He knew he could be that person. He has it in him. He wants to be it, but his role was different. So he didn't know what identity to live into. And as a result, he kind of did nothing, right? He was a shell of himself, right? Comparably speaking, just 2 months before. And it really took some conversation to get him over this hump. A lot of building up the identity is, hey, you're still that you still have that influence. You still have that ability. Your teammates will still listen to you. You still have credibility despite your skill level maybe not being what it is in the other sport. You've won championships in that other sport. You've led championship teams. You need to bring that same mindset and identity over here. Don't let your current role shape fully that identity. No. You're not a role player. You're not a backup. No, you're still somebody that has major influence, can be on the front lines of this team. Man, he struggled because his identity changed. He was in identity crisis. And, you know, what a great reminder. Once again, you know, when you look at your teams, who on your roster could you start fueling and building up the identity to be more of a leader? Secondly, are there any players on your team currently experiencing an identity crisis? Right. Yeah. Maybe on one team, they're this person. Now over here, they're on this, you know, they're at this level and they can't, you know, you're not getting the same person that the previous coach just raved about, you know, but they don't seem to be the same player for you in your sport. You know, maybe they're going through that identity crisis. Recognize the power of fueling the identity and allowing that to drive the leadership. So Kyle, man, great insight from you. Appreciate you so much for today's episode. Thank you so much to everybody for listening. As always, let us know what you think on Twitter, on Facebook. If you've been listening, we appreciate the encouragement, just hearing your feedback from the episodes or you sharing the episodes and tagging us. We're very appreciative of that. So on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Adam. He is Kyle. Until next time, have fun and lead 'em up.